session number 9523, reel 1.
Mrs. Lemire Goff, reel 1. Where were you born, Mrs. Lemire Goff?
I was born somewhere in the northwest frontier, somewhere in India. I don't know the place at all. Because I was only there for a little while, because my father was in the army out there, you see. He was stationed out there in the army. He was a Yorkshireman.
So he was a professional soldier?
Yeah, he was. He was in the 7th Dragoon Guards for many years. And then he turned to civil life years after that.
What did he do in civil life?
He was with a very big... I think you would call them a very big catering firm called G.F. Kellner & Company, with a headquarters in London.
Kellner?
That was years ago, Kellner. Kellner & Company, G.F. Kellner & Company in London. Because that was a very long time ago. And he was with them for a long, long time. And he did a lot of good work for them. And he used to have to travel up and down the country. You see, he was in charge of all the different stations in those days. And for his good work, then... In, I think it must have been 1903, the Delhi Durbar. Of course, I couldn't remember that. But I think it was 1903, the Delhi Durbar. He was presented with a lovely silver casket by the... I think it must have been King George IV. I'm not quite sure. One of the King Georges, but of course I'm not... I think it's either the third or the fourth. 1903, the Delhi Durbar. He was presented with a lovely big silver casket.
Probably...
I had it for years, but I've been traveling about so much, so I gave it over to my niece, who's in Devon at the moment, the lovely silver casket with his name on it, presented by King George IV or V, that I'm not quite sure about.
Where were you educated?
Partly out there, and then came back here to this country.
What kind of a school did you go to?
At first... Of course, my mother was very well off. She had her own private means. My very junior education was privately done. We had a private teacher. She went to a private school, which she had to pay for, of course. And then as I grew up older, then I went to a convent run by French and German nuns in those days. No English nuns, all French and German. And wonderful musicians. And that's where I learned a lot of music. And I did quite well in my music. I wasn't what you'd call over brilliant. I was average.
No? How old were you when you left school?
Oh, I must have been about... Well, I left fairly early because Dad got very, very ill. Of course, then he had to retire. He got very, very ill. And he had to come back. He was in Torquay for a very long time, in a private hydro, I think they call it. That was years ago, of course, because he died in 1917. That was a long, long time. I was still nursing when he died.
So can you remember what age you were when you left school?
I can't quite remember the age. Well, it must have been fairly early, because about 16, I know my sister and I were very young. We had just left school, and financially we were feeling a little bit, you know, low. So we went into a millinery department. We worked there as youngsters, you know, we were learning the millinery trade. That was out in India, though, in Calcutta, in those days. Calcutta was a wonderful city in the old days, see? And we were there with this, Madame Isabel, I think was her name, because that was very, very many, many years ago. And then from there, we left there as we were getting a bit older and with very, very small income. So then we went to the Controller of Military Accounts Office in Calcutta, a big government military accounts office, with Colonel Harrison, was our boss. And that was, of course, office, all office work, which we were more suited to. So we did a lot of office work, general office training. And there must have been about 35, 40 of us girls there, typists, registrars, registering. And we were there for many, many years. And also, in between when we were time off, we were always very keen on nursing. We joined the St. John's Ambulance when we were only 13 or 14. We used to go to first aid, you know, first aid and home nursing. I think they still do it nowadays. We always had that instinct that we would like to help somebody and we would like to know a little bit. Anyhow, we did that with our office work. And Colonel Harrison was our boss. We were very, very happy there. And then of course, the war was coming along. And we were there till 1915, 1916. We were there for a long, long time.
Why do you say that Calcutta was such a good city in those days?
Well, it was all British, you see. And you were perfectly safe. You could go about, you could shop, you could do what you like. You know, people looked up to you because you were British.
How did they show their respect?
Pardon?
How did the people show their respect to British people?
Well, they were always obliging. Would always try to help you with shopping and carrying your bags and all that sort of thing. You know, because you were British, they always tried to help you. If you wanted any information, they were always willing to give it to you.
Did you never get any insults?
No, not in those days. Never. No, we used to cycle to work. We both, my sister and I, had our own cycles. We used to cycle backwards and forwards, and we were just safe as houses. We go everywhere. So we were there very many years. We were very happy there. And then, as I say, we joined up, and then we took up nursing. And eventually, 1917, we were posted out to Karachi in India.
Can you remember the First World War actually breaking out?
The First World War, 1914-1918. Yes, I can remember it. I was in that attitude that it didn't worry me. I couldn't care less. I don't think I understood very much about it, not when I first spoke about it.
So the war didn't have, did it have very much impact on your life? Were there any shortages or anything of that kind?
Yes, well then, yes, and another thing, of course, nursing, as I say, we were going to be financially better off nursing. The money was going to be better.
Can you remember what the pay was in those days?
No, I can't remember the exact figure. It was much better because, I mean, of course, out there, it was not pound sterling and pence. It was rupees, annas and pi, which I think in those days, I think a pound was worth 13 rupees. 1 pound English money was worth 13 rupees Indian money, what we had in India. And so I think, well, it must have been fairly good, I think. I suppose in those days about 100 rupees a month. I don't know what it would work out to now in pounds, which was very good. Well, it was so good that we were able to save and put a little money into the bank. So it must have been helpful to us.
Was it easy for you to get into nursing?
Oh, yes. Well, we did a lot of nursing. We did a lot of training, so it was quite easy. And in those days, of course, they were all dying for, like they were dying for the men to come and join the army. They were wanting nurses. They were short of nursing staff all over the country, in India and Mesopotamia, or that part of the world, and Karachi in India. Karachi had a very, very big hospital. There were 3 or 4 very big hospitals in Karachi, all military. So they were very glad to have us.
Where did you do your training?
Well, a part of the training was in the, I think they called it the General Hospital, Calcutta, I think that's what they called it. It's such a long time ago. I think it was called the General Hospital. Because my senior nurse, she was Swiss. She came from Switzerland. All English nurses, of course, in those days. But no colored nurses in those days.
So weren't Indian girls allowed to become nurses?
No. It was all so different, you see, and they were all longing for so many nurses. They had troops all over the country that they had to take, even though we were young. And we were very young. We were actually, normally, we were really too young to go abroad. But the government accepted us and we went. We joined up with the Queen Alexandra's Nursing Service. And they posted us to Karachi in India.
Did you actually chose to go into the Queen Alexandra's, did you?
Pardon?
Did you actually choose to go into the Queen Alexandra's? Or were you sent into it?
I forget really what happened. I think we were given these papers. I think the military sent us these papers. And of course we jumped at the idea. We thought, yes, it would be very good. We'd like to do that. If anything to do with military, we were very, very patriotic.
Was it better pay in the Queen Alexandra's?
The Queen Alexandra's nursing service. I suppose it was. I suppose it was. You see, and the pay was good, and your whole way of life was very, very high. We had some wonderful people, and we had a wonderful mess. And we were posted, and there were 70 odd of us that joined up. And one young girl, if only I could get into contact with her, she joined the same day that we did. We went up on the train together, posted to Karachi, very, very big place, Karachi.
What was her name? Can you remember?
Yes, Bolter, Pat Bolter. Bolter, she was about the same age as us. Now, if she's still alive, she probably would be about my age, I suppose. Yeah, Pat Bolter.
Were there any male nurses in those days?
There were some male nurses, yes. And, there were quite several male nurses. And also, they were training younger men when they called dressers. They hadn't actually studied and gone through every bit of nursing, but they were very good and they were taught dressing. So, and Karachi, there must have been, it was a tremendous big open space. And they had to put up sort of more like shelters because there weren't enough hospitals. The Port Trust gave over in a big hospital. My sister was posted that one. But the hospital I was posted was just made with wood and, you know, sort of like temporary hospitals. They were all put up. And we had some lovely medical officers, lots of very nice medical officers that we had there, and lovely colonel, and we did such a lot of good work. And our colonel was so pleased with us, Colonel Browning Smith. Of course, he was much older than we were. Probably if he's alive today, he would be somewhere about 105 or something, I suppose, but I don't know. And he was very, very, very nice, and he was so pleased with our good work. Because we had people coming in from all over the country, you see. They would be shipped down from Basra, Mesopotamia. They hadn't enough beds for them, and they used to shift them down to us. So he said, well, as a big thank you, he would like to have his photo taken with us. So we all had our photos taken together, Colonel Brownie Smith, with a lovely matron we had. We had several matrons, of course. You see, it was several hospitals, so there were several matrons. There were six or seven matrons to each hospital. It was a tremendous big place. And he was so nice, so we had our photos taken together, and of course we were very glad that that happened. And I had that photo with me, and I had it in Lars, and I had it with me for years. But unfortunately, I've had to move around so much since, you know, going from place to place, and then I got very ill. And moving from one place to another, I lost a lovely big packing case of mine with my husband's silver medals and what have you. And I lost all, and this lovely photo. I was very sorry to lose that photo because it was so private, it was so individual. And but they were very strict in those days.
In what way?
Well, you had to stand to attention. Military, when your colonel came around or the major came around to the wards to look at the patients, your doctor came around, you had to stand to attention, stand stiff.
Did you have to salute? Did the nurses have to salute?
No, not salute, no, but you had to stand straight. You couldn't have your hands in your pocket and all that sort of thing. You had to stand straight and stiff. Yes, sir, no, sir. Take them round to see the patients. But it was all very, very nice. And we had several, as I say, several matrons. And therefore, we had a tremendous big mess. And, of course, we had certain hours of duty. So many hours of duty on, so many hours of duty off. 3 months night duty. 3 months night duty. That was a bit stiff. and walking out in the cold, not like the hospitals now that are all sheltered, right out in the cold, and go to see our patients in the dead of night or 2 o'clock in the morning. It depended, some had to be looked after oftener than others, you know. It's very serious cases. And we had a mongrel dog with us. I forget what he was called. He belonged to one of the sisters, and he used to follow us all around, because although there wasn't any great trouble, but you felt a bit uncanny walking around in the open at night, visiting your patients, you know, visiting different wards. So anyhow, we had a lovely mess, and we had another matron came along. She was in charge. She was very stiff and starchy, very strict. You had to say yes matron, no matron to her. You had to be very prim and proper. And even with her, you dare not take your handkerchief out of your pocket to blow your nose even. She was very, very strict, but she was a very, very good worker. She was really very, very, very capable.
Was she fair?
Yes, she was a white nurse, Miss Bonza, Miss.
No, but did she treat you fairly?
Oh, yes, yeah. She was very good in this way that, you see, my sister was nursing with me, and my sister and I were always very attached to each other, because she's gone now. And she always tried to keep up, although we were different hospitals, but we kept our hours of duty the same, so that we could be together when we were off duty. And we had a lovely mess, and in the evenings we'd all congregate, and then, as I say, she was very prim and proper. And after dinner, of course you had Indian servants in those days, you know, Indian butlers to attend to you, come and serve you with your food, and look after you and clean up your room and that sort of thing. You didn't have to do domestic work. But so then afterwards she'd always have us in the lounge to have a cup of coffee and have a little chat and then say good night and go to our own respective rooms. She was excellent, really.
Was she a motherly woman? Was she motherly towards you?
No, I wouldn't say she was motherly, but she was a very, very fair type of person. And she was a very just, she was a very just woman. No, very just. And then years ago, time went by, and then I remember, this course now the time has gone by, and then when we were coming back, we were having a big party, you know, in a mess. And of course, all officers invited, all officers, you see, in those days, very few of our friends were under the rank of sergeant, you know. They were all young officers, lieutenants, captains, majors. And we had a lovely party. And we were enjoying ourselves, you know, dancing around and doing the old waltz, the old dances. And enjoying ourselves, and it was getting late. But then she said, well, it's time now. The sisters must go back and say goodnight. They've had enough, we must go back now. So a lot of the young officers and that, they didn't want to break up the party because everybody was having such a nice time. So they said, we had General Fowler was out there, a general. He was an elderly man then, very elderly. And he was a dear old soul. So the young, we call them bucks, the young officers. In those days, we called them the young bucks. The young officers, they said, well, we talk to General Fowler. He's a very nice type of person. So they got around him and they asked him, could you talk to matron Miss Bonza? She's a bit stiff and starchy, but could you talk to her and ask her to stay a little bit longer? Let the sister stay a little bit longer, not break up the party. So they went and talked to General Fowler. And so General Fowler said, yes, all right. So he went over and he talked to Miss Bonza and he got her to say yes. So we were delighted at that. So we stayed another hour or two. And then, of course, we all said goodnight and packed off and went home. So in that way, she was very helpful in lots of ways. She liked you to enjoy yourself, but when it was your duty, you had to do your job.
You said that it was very strict, but were you ever punished?
No.
Were any of your friends punished?
No. No, we never did anything in those days to get any punishment.
What punishments could they use against you? Stopping your pay?
Well, they might do that or put you on extra duty. put you on extra duty, and so that you couldn't go out. But we never did. None of us ever came to that.
You never heard of anybody being punished?
No.
Did you ever get any ticking off?
No, never. No, I was one of those. I think I got on with most people, because I was always on the sort of friendly side and give and take, give and take side. So then of course, they wanted nurses to go to Mesopotamia in those days, Baghdad. So we volunteered for that. We weren't sent, we volunteered, and she didn't want us to go.
Why not?
Well, because she thought we were very good nurses, we were doing our job. So why go to another hospital and we're out of the country? But we said, no, well, we wanted more experience, we wanted to see another country, we wanted to see how meet other people, see the Arabs, and, that was the idea of seeing another country and do another kind of job. So anyhow, we got our way and we were posted out. We said goodbye to her. She was very sorry we went. And then out there again, we had 6 or 7 separate matrons because they were tremendous big hospitals.
Could I interrupt you and ask you how you got out from Karachi to Mesopotamia?
Oh, yes. The army took us out. The government put us on a lovely big ship.
A troop ship?
SS Baroda. I've got one or two of their signatures in my old autograph book.
Was it a troop ship?
No, that wasn't a troop ship.
What kind of a ship was it?
It was a lot of passenger boats that used to go up and down the river. So it was all arranged. We didn't have to book or do anything. Everything was arranged for us. We were met by a young officer. I couldn't tell you his name. He just met us and he took us aboard ship and he introduced us to the captain and all the ship's people, and we saw our cabins. And then we were taken to Mesopotamia, Basra. What? That's the river, the Euphrates and Tigris.
What were your cabins like?
Oh, they were quite nice. They were quite comfortable, quite nice.
Was it a luxury ship or was it rough?
No, it was. In those days, it was steamships. All run by steamship. And in those days, a lot of ships used to go backwards and forwards from England, London, various places in this country, and from various other countries, Spain, those places. They used to come backwards and forwards. And of course, during the war, they were helping, taking troops backwards and forwards. But this wasn't actually a troop ship that we went on.
Who was aboard the ship? Not just nurses?
Oh, no. There are other people as well, other passengers, and other officers and other people going to other parts of the country. We only met them on board ship, but I mean, they were being posted at different places in the different parts of Mesopotamia.
Were there civilians or military aboard
military,
the ship?
Military, mostly military. They were being posted all over, you see. And then we were posted out to this place in Mesopot, in Basra. And we had about 6 or 7 various matrons, because it was a tremendous very big hospital. It wasn't one hospital, there were about a half a dozen hospitals. And we had our own respective matrons, but there was also what you called a Miss Trixie Jones. Of course, I don't think she'd be alive now. She was elderly then. Miss, nearly all of them were unmarried in those days. Miss Trixie Jones. She was in charge of all, the whole community of all the nurses out there, all the nurses posted out there. We were all under her. And we had to be introduced to her when we first got there. She was very nice. But she wasn't in our wards, of course, but she was in charge of the whole establishment.
Was this in Basra?
In Basra.
How did Basra compare with Karachi?
Oh, it was very nice. I liked it very much, because the only thing is there, you see, your wards, they were all out in the open. They weren't concrete buildings like you do in peacetime, because they had to make up these special wards. Several wards were different. Surgical, I was mostly in surgical, more surgical than medical. I liked that. And that's where we met a lot of very nice, we had lovely medical officers. I've got their names written down in a book of mine. Lots of lovely medical officers. And posted to your different hospitals, you see. It was all out in the open. And there were about perhaps three or four to each block, the different blocks. Asphalt block, robot block, different names, you know.
What were the names? What were the names?
Robot block, asphalt block, that's what they were all called, different blocks. They were known as different blocks. And so we were posted to this place in Basra. And it was very, very nice. And when you had your time off to cross over into the town, you had to go in what you call a belam, these little boats, little rowing boats that Arabs used to paddle you along, Arabs, young Arabs. And they were charming people. Some could talk your language and some couldn't. Then I started learning a bit of their language because I don't know it now. So that I could discuss things with them, you know, and take us up and down the river. And we'd go shopping and have donkey picnics. Met some lovely young officers out there, the machine gunners. The machine gunners and, various different, I've got it written down, different regiments, the West Fusiliers, and met some charming people, the Baluchi regiment, you know, all the different regiments that were out there at that time. And they used to entertain us all, and the ships used to come in backwards and forwards, and of course they'd anchor in Basra for about perhaps 3 or 4 days, and they'd have to bring us all our food, because we've got a lot of tin rabbit, and what was the other thing? They used to bring us a lot, probably a lot of bacon or something like that, and a lot of tin rabbit. All this food used to have to come from India to come to us to feed us out there, you see, because you didn't have the shops out there to get all that stuff, all the food that we wanted. And even there again, we had a lovely matron. And once a year or so, they used to have a Christmas party. I've got a little card still somewhere, invitation. That was in 1918, I think, at Christmas time. The sisters were allowed to invite any young officer friend that they knew. You were allowed to invite. And I invited a young fellow, which in later years turned out to be my husband eventually. But not then. I just met him. I invited him to the dinner party as well. And we had a lovely dinner. We had got the goose from somewhere. But it all had to come to us from India. All our food supplies had to come to us from India. And of course, we were all ex-service. It was all active service we were on. Active service. So we all had to have camp beds and camp stools. And I told you call it camp basins, but you put water in, because if you were out in the blue, you'd have to fill that up with water, and that's how you'd have to wash yourself. You see, no running taps and things like that you've got nowadays. And it was very primitive, but it was very enjoyable, and we eventually got used to it. And considering, we kept quite well, except that although I met several cases that had black water fever and different things. And then eventually I contracted malaria. And that put me into the hospital. I was sent to what they call the Officers' Hospital in Beighton Armour. They called it the Officers and Sisters' Hospital.
In Beighton Armour?
I was warded. I was very ill with malaria.
What was the name of the place?
Beighton Armour.
How do you spell it?
B-E-I-T. Beit-A-N-A-M-A. Beighton Armour. N-A-M-A. Probably not there now. And it was it belonged, this building belonged to some ex, it belonged to an ex, you know, in India you call them Indian princes, but in there you didn't call them Indian princes.
Sheikhs?
I forget what you call them, Shah.
Sheikhs?
Sheikh or something. And it was his beautiful palace that he gave over to the government for the hospital, for the sisters' hospital. And that's why I was warded there for a little while, with malaria.
Did you take many precautions against mosquitoes?
No, we didn't. We didn't really. We didn't really. And we had to deal with so many people. Well, we had cholera. We had plague. I think I had one injection for plague.